Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court has declined to immediately take up the case of former President Trump's immunity claim related to alleged attempts to overturn the 2020 election. CBS legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
Today, the Supreme Court said not so fast. Go back to the intermediate appellate court. There's a hearing in that case on January 9th, and essentially the Supreme Court will wait.
The United Nations Security Council adopted a resolution calling for more aid supplies to Gaza. U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Today, this council called for urgent steps to immediately allow safe, unhindered, and expanded humanitarian access.
Millions are flying this holiday week to get to grandma's house, including this woman in Dallas.
We spent the night here. We live about 3 hours away. We always fly out of DFW. It's more convenient. And so we hopped on the shuttle, got here.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin ranks near the bottom of the nation when it comes to public health funding, 49th, according to the United Health Foundation. Chief Medical Officer Rhonda Randall says public spending on health is going down at the same time heart disease and diabetes are going up.
This is something that we have been concerned about for quite some time. And when we looked at this year's report, it's really unfortunate that the number of adults living with chronic conditions in the United States is the highest we've seen it.
Funding for local health departments in Wisconsin is tied largely to property taxes. A Wisconsin child has died from RSV. The state health department isn't saying any more than that. Health experts say cases of RSV, flu, and COVID are spiking in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Neillsville man is facing multiple charges regarding the manufacturing and delivery of THC and psilocin. 31-year-old Jamie Sylvester was arrested and charged with manufacturing or delivering THC, manufacturing or delivering psilocin, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and straw purchasing a firearm. He allegedly had 56 pounds of marijuana bud, nearly 12 pounds of THC gummies, and nearly 1,000 THC vape cartridges in his home when police searched it. His next court appearance is scheduled for January. Wisconsin regulators have been forced to stop developing standards for limiting forever chemicals in the state's groundwater. According to Governor Tony Evers, excessive compliance costs have forced the pause as economic impact projections show the cost of compliance would run $33 million over the first 2 years the standards go into effect. A 2017 law requires state agencies to obtain permission from the legislature to continue working on regulations with compliance costs of at least $10 million. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their sixth game in a row with a 118-114 victory over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks' Malik Beasley on Bally Sports Wisconsin after the game.
We just want to be a championship team, and that's what we got to do against these teams. And they beat us earlier in the year, so we owed them one.
The Bucks begin a road trip tomorrow against the Knicks. College hoops tonight. Marquette at home against Georgetown. Wisconsin takes on the Chicago State Cougars at the Kohl Center. NFL Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry on the hot seat spoke to reporters about Sunday's loss to the Buccaneers to fall to a record of 6-8.
Well, losing sucks. I mean, always. But yeah, I'd be lying to you if this, you know, it was. This week particular was hard. It was hard on me, hard on my family. But that's, you know, this is the National Football League. This is what you sign up for.
That's the Packers' Joe Barry. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A darker and drearier day today, stuck under overcast skies with patchy drizzle, not to mention some areas of fog. However, high temperatures today quite mild, rising to the mid-40s. Tonight, we stay damp and drizzly. Right now, it's 39.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap. In mornings from 8 till 10.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you live statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. I want to briefly respond a little more to Bill of Econawalk, and then I'm going to talk about our next topic. And what Bill was talking about is that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, has publicly urged Joe Biden to take executive action at the border and not wait for some negotiated deal between Republicans and Democrats to then free up aid to Ukraine and to Israel. Now, here's what I think we're getting at. Bill asked, could that splash back on Mike Johnson? Yeah, theoretically it could, but I don't think that's so much the issue, because it's certainly going to be welcome in his district in Louisiana. I mean, he's just passing the buck to, if you play hearts, passing the queen of spades. If you play old maid, passing the old maid, you pass the hot card to Biden and say it's his fault, because the Republicans, some of them oppose aid to Ukraine, and the ones that don't are, holding out for these lengthy negotiations, and he wants to put it back on Joe. So, for people like you and me looking at that, that splashes back on him, but we're not going to vote for him anyway. But I think for the constituents in the Republican Party, they may shrug and say, fine, I don't know. I mean, that's just speculation. However, the idea of the president using executive authority, executive power, issuing executive orders, it can be done. Now, with what Trump did, he issued an executive order to ban travel from certain Muslim countries and also to make immigrants stay in Mexico while they petition for asylum, and also force them to, along the way, petition for asylum in the first country they went through. So if they came from Guatemala, they had to go through Mexico. They should have petitioned for it there, and so forth. Some of his things were upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. Some of them were not. But it is true that the president has executive authority. But as far as legitimacy of what he's doing, you absolutely want it to be with the consent of Congress. And let me parse this a little more deeply. After 9/11, George W. Bush, and then even up through Barack Obama, restricted travel for some countries like Saudi Arabia. I mean, they just come into the country and killed almost 3,000 people. And that was on Saudi Arabia. You know, of the 19 hijackers, 17 of them were from Saudi Arabia. And there was evidence in the secret documents that Biden released that, in fact, the Saudi Arabian government knew about it and supported it. So you can do that. There is an imperative not to bring people who are on a terror watch list into this country. I think Biden's approach, and he has signaled, and then Mitch McConnell has already said that Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who is the Democratic senator, is not being effective in terms of getting a deal with the Republicans, and he urges Joe Biden to get involved personally. Well, Joe Biden has a lot of things on his plate. This is important, but his phone is always available to Mitch McConnell if he wants to call him. So I think you're going to find after the new year, and here's the sad thing. You think these guys, you think they're going to cut their vacation short? Are you kidding me? The House left on December 15 on Friday. They don't come back till January 9th, 8th or 9th. They even take a week off after New Year's. Look, all right, eat some turkey, have a few beers, go out New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, watch some football. But why do you wait 8 more days to come back? Come on, give me a break. These guys should be working. They're not all lazy. Some of them are very lazy, but some of them are not. They're not coming back. So I do not think that Biden is going to say to Johnson, oh, okay. Yeah, you give me orders, I'll do it. No. The idea is lay out what you think we should do, and I will agree with you on some things. Joe will be tough on the border, but Joe will be human on the border too. And I want that mixture of wisdom, experience, common decency, which does not exist with Donald Trump, to inform all of this. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. This really made me angry when I first read it. I don't know. It's Christmas time. I shouldn't read stuff that makes me angry, but this did. There's a guy named Ken Paxton. Now, Ken Paxton is an attorney general of Texas. He's under indictment for bribery and fraud. He's under indictment for 4 years, and the locals there are letting him weasel around on it. He is the guy that stopped Katie Cox from having an abortion in Texas after her physician. This was not some sort of an elective thing. The physician, she desperately wanted this child. She already had two more. But the physician said, this child is dead. And if you carry it to term or try to naturally abort it that way, that will affect your health. You could get sepsis. You could die. The Texas Supreme Court said, and she put in a statement from her doctor saying this. The Texas Supreme Court said, well, the doctor didn't put it under oath, and therefore that isn't a sufficient showing. No, she can't have an abortion. It's a criminal offense in Texas. So she left the state basically to save her own health, her own life. Now we come to find out, now this is beyond belief, that Ken Paxton has sent subpoenas to out-of-state hospitals, including one in Seattle, Washington, and they suspect some others, demanding medical records. Demanding medical records. He's the indicted for bribery and fraud Attorney General of Texas. You know how far away Seattle is from Texas? So the Seattle hospital, in response to the subpoena, put in that he had no jurisdiction in the state of Washington. For instance, they said, we're not incorporated. This is Seattle now, for Pete's sake. We're not incorporated. We're not incorporated in Texas. We have no ties to Texas. We have no bank accounts or property. By the way, I just got a crawling message. I'm going to have to confirm it after this. It says Wisconsin Supreme Court overturns the maps. That's all it says in my message. And obviously I can't go to research right now, but I want you to know that a message just came crawling across my screen. The Wisconsin Supreme Court overturns the maps. Hooray, hooray, hooray. Thank you to Wisconsin Supreme Court for a new majority that's read the Constitution. But to get back to Paxton, to get back to this hound Paxton, who the heck does he think that he can issue subpoenas to a hospital in Seattle and maybe elsewhere trying to sneak up medical information on Texas residents? This is right out of the Soviet Union in the 1940s under Stalin. There was the chief of police there named Laurentin Beria, who was a sadist. He was a terrible guy. What he would do is he would go around investigating people, wire people, he would get parents, their kids, to inform on their own parents and send the parents to Siberia. In other words, the kid would come to him and say, I heard my parents, after they thought I was asleep, saying that they didn't think Stalin was a good man. They'd arrest the parents, send them to the gulag, and in the gulag, no one ever heard of you again, and then reward the kid, the snitch, for this poor kid who's being bullied by Laurent and Barry if he suspected that somebody was disloyal. And they'd put him on the radio, and they'd say he gets a medal and he's going to get a scholarship. This is sick. In Texas, they have a snitch bounty, 10 grand. If you suspect that your neighbor is leaving to go somewhere for medical care that might include an abortion, whether or not it's to save her life, you rat on her, turn her in and get 10 grand. And the doctor could get arrested. This is not Laurent and Beria in Russia in 1943 or something. This is Texas. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
What a busy day right before vacation. I will just throw one other wrench into things here. I just would love to get your thoughts as a lawyer on this. I've been seeing a lot of commentary on the situation of the 14th Amendment and the ruling that came out of Colorado. And I've heard people say this is so unjust, this is so unfair to Trump, because you need to have a finding of fact in a court of law. This is so unfair to the guy. Okay, tell me if I'm wrong here, Matt. There was a finding in a court of law. It's not a criminal case, it's a civil case, but there was an evidentiary hearing, 5 days of testimony under the auspices of a woman judge. Her name is Sarah Wallace, and it included testimony from police, Capitol Police, Trump lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. They had an evidentiary hearing. Now, so the question I would want to ask you is, Trump was not under any kind of criminal charges in this. All this was a civil case, as I understand it, to decide could his name be on the ballot in the state of Colorado. In the same way that you ask the question of a presidential candidate, are you over 35? Were you born in America? You know, not your third term as president, et cetera. And are you, tell us, you have to be sure that you are not an insurrectionist. And in even more detail than that, that you did not engage in insurrection after you had sworn to defend the Constitution, a sworn public official. So I guess that's my question, is my understanding that is that this evidentiary hearing is what happened in the court of law. It didn't need to be a jury, you know, a criminal case, because that wasn't what was being talked about. So I would like to have your opinion on that. And then the second thing I just wanted you to ask is, we're looking at this and saying, well, we can never let this, people are saying we could never have this happen with Trump, because the people of the MAGAs people would be all upset, and we surely couldn't have this. I would like to point out that they already did take somebody, they sued them to get out of their public official job, and this was a guy named, last name Griffin, out of New Mexico. He's a county commissioner. He was head of a group called Cowboys for Trump, and local citizens right. sued to get him removed as county commissioner.
Right. So you're right on the money. We're going to step away for a minute. We're going to come back, and your answers to your questions, which are terrific, will be forthcoming right away when we come back.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Gah, I'm so stressed about my business not being ready for the holidays.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma, smart communications for the smarter business.
Did you know there's an actual candy cane lane in Wisconsin? It's only real during the holidays, but one Milwaukee area neighborhood has been sharing its holiday cheer for close to 40 years. 300 residents along West Oklahoma Avenue in West Dallas decorated to be part of Candy Cane Lane this year, free to drive through and enjoy. But since 1984, $3 million in donations have been raised and given to the MAC Fund to fight cancer. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I am going to answer Joe of Madison's questions. They're excellent questions. And then talk about the legislative maps. I've just read the article. And 4-3, the Wisconsin Supreme Court did overturn the maps. And on two grounds, as we had talked about before, one, that the districts are not contiguous. Two, that it violated the separation of powers. They can't circumvent the governor being able to veto if he wants. And Jill Karofsky, Justice Jill Karofsky, wrote the opinion 4-3. But Joe, as always, asked two great questions. One of them was, if somebody comes up to you and says, there was no finding of fact, you know, he wasn't convicted. The 14th Amendment was written by people who knew exactly what they were doing. And just because Abraham Lincoln had pardoned the Confederates, pardoned, for instance, Jefferson Davis and Robert E. Lee, they could not run again. It did not require a criminal conviction. That is specifically not required. And number two, they say, if somebody may come up to you and go, you know, some sort of Christmas cocktail party and go, well, but there was no finding of fact. That is not true. And Joe pointed it out that in front of Justice, or Judge, I should say, Sarah Wallace, she held a trial. There's several kinds of trials. There are bench trials and there are jury trials. And usually you have a right to jury trial, especially if damages are asked for, money. But if money isn't asked for, the court sits frequently in what's called as a court of equity. It's an old English term that goes back, you know, hundreds of years, almost to the Magna Carta. And in a court of equity, and for instance, a divorce court is a court of equity. You have two people want a divorce. They're fighting over things. You don't get a jury to decide. You get a court to decide. Well, in this particular case, she was sitting as a court of equity. And the Republicans, I mean, if Trump had wanted a jury, he would have certainly asked for it, but he couldn't. What a court of equity does is takes testimony. They did take testimony from police officers and so forth, and she made a finding of fact. Judges in bench trials make issue a sheet that says findings of fact and conclusions of law. The conclusions of law would be the 14th Amendment forbids somebody who engages in insurrection and rebellion, who had supported in oath, made an oath to defend the Constitution. And that's the law. The facts are these. Did he do it? And she went exhaustively through the facts. Now, when a finding of fact is entered, it can be entered by a jury or by a judge. The jury is the one that's, for instance, decided that Rudy Giuliani had to pay $148 million. But this was not a damages case. The court sat in equity. The court issued a finding of fact. I read it. So the next time somebody comes up to you and says there's no finding of fact, that's just not true. What they're saying is that, you know, okay, she was sitting in a court of equity. It should have been a jury trial. And the answer is no. The law does not provide for that kind of a jury trial. Just as Joe was suggesting, is if a guy runs for president and he's 34 and he put in a fake birth certificate or something, you don't get a jury to decide how old the guy is. I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course, that doesn't happen, but that is very, very analogous to what's going on. I want to talk about, this is very exciting. This is a blockbuster thing. The court, 4-3, Justice Jill Karofsky writing the opinion, just overturned the maps and said that the state is prohibited from using these old maps. and they are going to go ahead and provide immediately for new maps that Evers will have a chance to veto if he wants. In other words, separation of powers. The governor, what they should have done with their maps if they'd wanted to avoid this argument, is pass it as legislation and give it to Evers. He would have vetoed it, then there would have been negotiation. They didn't do that. They sent it right to the Supreme Court, which had three election deniers on it. Remember, now it is two. They would do anything to keep the Republicans in power. And so also there's a provision in the Constitution that says that the districts have to be contiguous. What does that mean? It means it has to be one entity. It has to touch. It has to touch. Right now, you're not going to believe this. In many state Senate districts in this state right now, and in many assembly districts, there are little tufts of votes that are separated. So, for instance, I think the fellow that represents Fitchburg in Dane County has to travel out of his district to grab another tuft of votes somewhere else. Like there's a bush up there on the hill. Go up and water that one. And, yeah, it's not even connected. You know, what's going on? I mean, this is unconstitutional. And you know what the Republican argument was? Republican argument was the word contiguous is ambiguous. The word contiguous is ambiguous. In this particular case, it's contiguous if it isn't connected, as long as the legislature said it was. That's their argument. Well, that's a bad argument. You don't have to be a lawyer. You could have to be somebody who knows how to read and write. You go, that's ridiculous. And then they go, well, we didn't want Evers to veto it because then he'd come back and he'd make a proposal. We'd make a proposal. That is how it's supposed to be done. So therefore, we just put him out of the equation and made the Wisconsin Supreme Court with the election deniers equivalent of the governor. That's what they did. This is a historic news. I'm going to read the opinion with great interest when the show is over. Unfortunately, time-wise, we're going into a weekend and then we're going to go into Christmas Day. And, on Tuesday and Christmas Day, we're going to have a rerun of this show in all likelihood and probably Tuesday. So we're not going to get into it too much today, not in my show. But the questions that I have are very simply this. Who's going to draw the maps? I suspect the Supreme Court will keep track of that. And they'll appoint what's called the special master or referee. And they will put together a couple of people, say, from UW-Madison, UWM, Marquette, a couple of other statisticians, political scientists, and say, come up with some maps that are contiguous. And then we'll look at them, and then they'll be submitted to Evers, and then Evers can decide whether he's going to veto them or not. This is an historic day, a truly, truly historic day. And I'm delighted that it broke on this show. I wish it had broken earlier so I could have actually read the opinion. But I can't tell you enough how this will break the logjam. This will break the logjam of a legislature that will put poisonous chemicals in all our drinking water, drive the UW down, starve it of money, deny it liberal arts programs, affect education as badly as they do, attack public education, try to impose an 1849 statute. 1849, that's 174 years ago. 174 years ago about abortion has nothing to do with what's going on right now. We are going to get rid of the dead wood. I am exulting at this. This is terrific. Okay, coming up, a New Hampshire poll and a poll in California. One of them in the Republican primary, one of them in the Senate race that will surprise you. And I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I will get back to you right away.
All the time. Better, better.
find what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has overturned the state's Republican-drawn legislative maps, saying that new maps have to be drawn before next year's election. The court ruled 4-3 today that the current maps are unconstitutional because they are not contiguous. Some Republicans want to shut down Wisconsin's Elections Commission and move its work to the Secretary of State's office. That's an elected partisan job, and Assembly Speaker Robin Foss says it's an awful idea.
I wouldn't want to put Democrats in charge thinking that they're going to somehow be fair to Republicans. I just don't believe it. And frankly, if Republicans were in charge, I'm not all sure that they would be totally fair to Democrats.
Foss tells the Wisconsin iPublic Affairs Network that while he has problems with the Elections Commission, he's not aware of a better alternative. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake teenager has entered a guilty plea to homicide charges in relation to an October 2022 crash. Troy Hune Jr. pleaded guilty to two counts of homicide by negligent operation of a vehicle and one count of reckless driving causing great bodily harm. Hune was reportedly operating the vehicle under the influence when he crashed and rolled over, killing 15-year-old Winter Brouillard and 14-year-old Ava Garcia and injuring another 14-year-old girl. Hune was traveling at a high rate of speed at the time of the crash. Wisconsin State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he wants a comprehensive audit of diversity programs in Wisconsin state government agencies. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, the audit would seek to determine if agencies use DEI programs to give extra credit to candidates based on race. He hopes to have the review completed by 2025, which would allow state lawmakers to consider it while drafting the next two-year state budget. Voss recently pressured the universities of Wisconsin to cap DEI positions. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their sixth game in a row with a 118-114 victory over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks' Malik Beasley on Bally Sports Wisconsin after the game.
We just want to be a championship team, and that's what we got to do against these teams. And they beat us early in the year, so we owe them one.
The Bucks begin a road trip tomorrow against the Knicks. College hoops tonight, Marquette at home against Georgetown. Wisconsin takes on the Chicago State Cougars at the Kohl Center. NFL, Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry, on the hot seat, spoke to reporters about Sunday's loss to the Buccaneers to fall to a record of 6-8.
Well, losing sucks. I mean, always. But, yeah, I'd be lying to you if this, you know, it was... This week particular was hard. It was hard on me, hard on my family. But that's, you know, this is the National Football League. This is what you sign up for.
That's the Packers' Joe Barry. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A darker and drearier day today, stuck under overcast skies with patchy drizzle, not to mention some areas of fog. However, high temperatures today quite mild, rising to the mid-40s. Tonight, we stay damp and drizzly. Right now, it's 39.
When President Joe Biden visited the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee, your local Civic Media radio stations had it covered live. News director Terry Bell.
Heard a lot about Bidenomics and his plan to grow the economy by growing the middle class out as opposed to the upper class down.
And Earl Ingram.
Credit the Biden administration. He's already made things happen.
Your place for special live coverage. It's your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Frank of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling, Frank. What's in your mind today?
First of all, I think you're the finest liberal commentator I've ever heard. And I've been following politics since 1952.
Well, thank you very much.
And I almost agree with everything you said. You listed the presidents you admire, and I agree, but I would throw in LBJ, and I know probably why you didn't use LBJ. But you got a Civil Rights Act of 64, Voting Rights Act of 65, Medicare, food stamps, et cetera, the Second New Deal. And I know he screwed up in Vietnam, and I know his methods and so on might have been a little bit corrupt, but he did a lot of good for the since he was a teacher in rural Texas and helping the poor kids, making sure they had food. He spent a life doing good things. I know he was an impossible man, but it takes an impossible man to shove that stuff through sometimes. And I adore the Kennedys. I had a great honor of meeting Teddy Kennedy once, and I got right in his face, and I said, you know, I admire what you and your brothers have tried to do for this country. And I was his buddy, right? Bam. I was his best pal. I love your commentary, and I love your delivery. It's so unthreatening, and you are very much appreciated by the people who listen to you. God bless you and your family. God bless your station, and I wish you the very best.
Frank, thank you very much. That is very touching, and it means a lot to me and that you called. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for those very, very kind words. I really, really am. So thank you. I want to talk just briefly again about the decision to overturn the maps, and then we're going to go on to two polls. But on the overturning of the maps, there's a whole blizzard of questions in my mind as to how it's going to be done, and that will be somewhat disclosed in that opinion. But it does require the appointment of experts, and they're usually statisticians, they're usually political scientists, and they are told by the court what their marching orders are. You know, they don't just freelance, and the marching orders are make these things contiguous, number one, and then it will be submitted to the governor for a veto if he wants. But whatever it is, these maps will be a heck of a lot fairer than what you already have. And I'm going to leave everybody with one admonition before we go to the next topic. Just because they're new maps doesn't ensure victory for either party. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There are tides in the affairs of men, as the poet said. And the point of the matter is that, there are conservative elections and liberal elections. 2010 was a very good election for Republicans, even without gerrymandered maps. 1994 was very, very good for Republicans. 1958 was terrific for Democrats. 2018 was very, very good for Democrats. 2022 was good for, so don't rest on your laurels. You don't just get to sit there on the couch and the court says, okay, this is what it's going to be. There's a lot of work to do. And in the Democratic Party, there's a lot of work to do. In the Republican Party, those of you who would like to see the Trump wing out of power, and you stand more with Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and Romney and people like that, get to work. If you're in the Lincoln Project, get to work. Okay, the two polls. This was fascinating to me. This is a wink into the future. There was a poll in New Hampshire. Only in the Republican primary, only in the Republican primary, is taken between December 18 and 19. 1,711 people were questioned, and these are New Hampshire likely voters in the Republican primary. Trump is still ahead. He is 44%. Nikki Haley has gone up to 30%. I mean, that's phenomenal. More than double what she had just a little while ago. DeSantis dropped from 11% to 5%. He is below Vivek Ramaswamy. The lineup goes like this. Trump, 44%. Haley, 30% in New Hampshire. Christie, 12%. Ramaswamy, 6%. DeSantis, 5%. Asa Hutchinson, 1%. He also has fallen way behind Haley in Iowa. DeSantis has. Even though he spent a ton of time in Iowa, he's concentrating on Iowa. And even though she hasn't spent a ton. There are two things going on. One is, it's very difficult for me to see how DeSantis survives this. If he goes through Iowa, New Hampshire, and if he polls below Ramaswamy on election day in New Hampshire, and that's coming up in February. That's coming up in February. He is, I think he's toast. That's number one. Number two, Iowa coming up in January, and actually New Hampshire's right after that, so I may be wrong about whether it's late January or early February, but I don't see DeSantis surviving. I don't see Ramaswamy surviving or Asa Hutchinson. And the question is, can Haley catch Trump? Can she catch Trump? I find it difficult to see because of the ferocity of his base, but you never know. The other poll was very surprising to me. And just chew on this a little bit. In California, they have a open primary that's coming up in March, first Tuesday in March. We're talking about what? 2.5 months, roughly. Not even 2.5 months. They have what's called the jungle primary. What's a jungle primary? Jungle primary is a totally open primary. And the top two people that win the primary run against each other in the election in November. And they can be in the same party. So up till now, it looked like the two that would survive March, I think it's March 4th or 5th, would be Adam Schiff, Katie Porter. Barbara Lee is in third place, or she was. So you'd have two Democrats against each other. In Louisiana, they have a jungle primary. It's usually two Republicans against each other. Same in Alaska. So I don't really like jungle primaries. I think that each party should nominate somebody in their own primary and then have them go against each other, but it is what it is. The poll that just came out of California stunned a lot of people. There's a guy named Steve Garvey. Now, those of you who are baseball fans, as I am, know that a long time ago, he was the first baseman for the San Diego Padres, and I think he spent some time with the Los Angeles Dodgers, I think, or with the Dodgers. So you have the San Diego Padres, and then you have the Dodgers. The thing about him is, this was a long time ago. The guy's 75 years old. And even though he was a great first baseman, he was a great hitter, I never thought of him as a senator. So he rears his ugly head, and he sticks his name on the ballot. And in this poll that just came out, he comes in second in the election in early March. Adam Schiff is first with 28%. Steve Garvey, retired first baseman of the Padres and the Dodgers, comes in at 19%. Katie Porter, 17%. Barbara Lee, 14%. Now, just so you know, given margins of error, the spread among 19, 17, and 14 is margin of error. Usually they have a 3.5% margin of error. So any one of these people could be 3.5% higher or lower than what I just gave you. It's pretty clear that Adam Schiff is in the lead. But this is now being played in different ways by the candidate. Adam Schiff is hoping that Steve Garvey comes in second, because then it's a traditional Democrat against a sort of a newbie Republican. Katie Porter is trying to tout that she's so close to Garvey that she'll probably be second. And Barbara Lee, even though she's fairly far behind, is going, well, we're all sort of lumped in the teens. Anything can happen, which is true. So there you have it. In those particular elections, it looks like DeSantis is fading. And people say that, but when you place behind Vivek Ramaswamy, who's frankly out of his mind, I mean, the guy has no business being on that stage. He truly doesn't. He has absolutely no political experience, and he says he has business experience, but he's being sued by, he has stock trading company, sort of a brokerage company, and his senior person, sort of the chief operating officer, is a woman. She's suing him for securities fraud, saying that he told her to do things that violated the securities laws. Now, how a guy who has no experience and who frankly has a sort of weird personality, full of conspiracy theories, said that Zelensky, the great president of Ukraine, is a Nazi. That's what he said. He says he's a Nazi, shooting his mouth off all the time, and very, very pro-Russian, weak on Ukraine, and frankly, ambivalent to weak on Israel, suddenly is running for president and being sued by his COO for telling her to break the securities laws. I mean, what does this come to? And then I think of Trump. You know, that sort of, you know, encapsulates when Trump decided to run the first time, but it ain't going to work with this guy. And I think that Haley will give Trump a run for his money if she upsets him, if she upsets him in either Iowa or New Hampshire, which I don't expect to happen, then it's Katie bar the door. But she's also not going to be picked as VP by him, because she's gone after him enough that his pride is wounded and it would look very, very bad in a general election. So stay tuned. And in California, largest state in the union, it's the something like sixth or seventh largest economy in the world. In the world. You know, you have China, Japan, Germany, the UK, the United States. I forget who's next. Maybe it's Italy. I don't know. And California. California. Unbelievable. But this is going to be a very, very interesting and vital political season. A couple of other things before we step away, I want to say something else. Trump has just disclosed who, if he is the nominee and if he won, and he'll probably be the nominee and he's definitely not going to win because the handwriting's on the wall of the guy. He has early onset argumentative dementia, and you can just see it. And I've a physician that I saw this weekend, we're at a dinner and I was talking to the guy and he said, I think, you know, they talk about Biden. Biden is fine. Biden stuttered, you know, and he's a very deliberate, cautious guy. But he thought that Trump had early onset dementia. His argumentation, his misstatements, not just conspiracy theories, but frequent factual misstatements, as many or more than Biden, and they weren't due to stuttering. And then the anger, the argumentative nature of it, which is a hallmark of some early onset dementia. This guy's not going to win. Joe Biden's going to win. However, Biden will still claim that he's going to appoint certain people to his cabinet. And the guy he says he's going to appoint is Chris Miller. Chris Miller was his Secretary of Department of Defense for 2 months. And he selected it as his chief of staff, Kash Patel. You know who that is? He is a really bad guy. Kash Patel is the guy who is pro-Russian and who kept attacking everybody for saying that Trump was somehow in league with Russia when he really was. That's Kash Patel. This guy would be the number two, in a sense, at the Defense Department under Trump. And number one would be Chris Miller, who basically was up to his ears in Trump's business, his bad business, after he got rid of Esper and some of the other good secretaries of defense. The thing I want to put on everybody's radar, if Trump got in, he can't get in, but if he gets in, he's not going to pick a Jim Mattis or a John Kelly or people with just absolutely unimpeachable credentials who are honest. He's going to pick Kash Patel and Stephen Miller and this guy, Chris Miller. Stephen Miller is the guy that on Saturday Night Live, they had depicted by a cobra coming out of a basket. Whenever they asked him his opinion on immigration, the cobra come out of the basket. This will be his cabinet. You can't have a country that is in effect run by a cabinet like that. We're coming up with two things. I am going to put in a plug for a novel that I've written, and I'm going to describe it coming up very shortly.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central states home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I wanted everyone to know, and I had an interview of me on my friend Todd Albo's show yesterday about it, that one of the things I enjoy doing besides this show, which I love doing, love the callers. The callers make the show. The callers in this show are really my co-hosts. My interviewees, and they are the guts of the show. But the other thing I like doing is writing, and I have published 3 novels and a work of nonfiction. And I want to mention that to you because from time to time I have people say to me, Matt, you know, I really enjoy the things that you say on the air, and I enjoy your callers' questions and your responses. And have you written anything that would set out maybe in greater detail some of the things you think about these subjects? So I want to respond to that. My latest novel is called The Court of Last Resort. And it was published at the end of last week. It's very current. The Court of Last Resort by Matthew Flynn. Just so you know, there's another book with the same title. So if you go on Amazon or wherever books are sold, you go on Barnes & Noble, any of them, make sure you have the one that's written by Flynn. But in any event, The Court of Last Resort is based on my experiences, very loosely on my experiences, being a law clerk on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and my views on a lot of legal subjects. It's a thriller, though. And even though I dedicate it to the judges of the Seventh Circuit and my fellow law clerks, it involves a judge who is a former Marine commando, and he's sitting on the bench and he demands perfect justice in his court. And occasionally very bad people get acquitted or slip out, but he finally says, I've had enough of this. And then he goes out after him at night and he executes him. Now, I want it clear that the judge that I clerk for didn't do that, just so we're very clear. But I think it's a good read. And at the end, when a Supreme Court justice, a corrupt Supreme Court justice, is executed and an innocent man is tried for the murder, this judge tries to get him acquitted, is unsuccessful, and that sets up the end of the book, the resolution of the book. It's a heavy read, but you will get out of it if you enjoy reading this kind of thing. My experiences, I frequently talk about legal subjects on this show, and you will see some legal subjects that you are probably, unless you're a lawyer, not familiar with. Another novel that I've written is called China Code. And it's a novel about a young math genius who's pursued by the Chinese Communist Party, by agents, because he has developed an algorithm that breaks their codes. And he's assigned a CIA agent, a woman who's very, very good, but she's has a hard time making sure they don't kill him. And so she enlists the Latino and African-American gangs of Milwaukee to stand with them and protect him. It's kind of an interesting book. And there's also a lot of foreign policy issues having to do with the Pacific and having to do with the United States and conflicts in our government. Another novel that I've written is called Milwaukee Jihad, and that is about ISIS, and it's somewhat based on the 9/11. They come to Washington to blow up the Capitol during the State of the Union, and the same math genius figures out their code, the same CIA agent protects him, and you know, spoiler alert, let's just put it this way, the Capitol doesn't get blown up. I've also written a work of nonfiction, and it's called Confessions of a Church Lawyer in Defense of Christianity. Now, that's a subject that is obviously quite controversial, and it occurred to me, the core of our Constitution, the most important thing in our Constitution, is a separation of church and state in the First Amendment, and I stand up for that vigorously in this. And it's a perspective on religion and on Christianity from the perspective of somebody who's a Democrat and who is not ideological about it, but just using my reason, pointing out the value of things like due process, equal protection, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, that kind of thing, which owe their origin to our Constitution, but which our Constitution was drafted by people from a Judeo-Christian tradition who wrote themselves out of government, but nevertheless had the insight to come up with these terrific principles. So if you're interested in any of those subjects, you might get a kick out of any one of these books. But the most recent one is The Court of Last Resort. And if you're on a plane ride or you're looking for something to read, you might find it very, very interesting. Okay, we're coming up to the end of the show. There's one other subject I do want to talk to, and that is a very, very important letter that Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut has written to Chief Justice Roberts. And he's urged him in the strongest terms to ask that Justice Clarence Thomas recuse himself and step down from this immunity suit involving Trump. And the reason is that Ginny Thomas, the wife of the justice, was at the insurrection on January 6th. She was at the rally. I don't believe she went into the Capitol, but she has also been hired over the various years by the people that you know about, the Harlan Crow types, not necessarily him, but others, the Heritage Foundation, people like Leonard Leo. And there's no doubt how Thomas is going to vote on anything having to do with the Republican Party and Trump. But here it's so bald and so obvious that Blumenthal makes the argument, and I think it's a good argument, that the Chief Justice and the other justices have got to get together and say to Thomas, "You, for the good of the court, you've got to step down on this one." The sad thing is, and I'll leave it with this, if he doesn't, there is no statute or no rule that permits them to force him. We've had a great show. Great callers as always. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. Have a wonderful weekend and Christmas coming up. Matt Flynn Direct will be back right after the Christmas holiday. And Matt Flynn Direct, which is me, is signing off for today. Thank you.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme